Nantucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Wednesday morning. We're at the Alabama State House, as we usually do on Wednesdays. Thanks to Leader Stathagen for making it happen. We get a room on the third floor here, and we've been getting a lot of lawmakers on over the last several weeks. So we'll be back at the confines of the Fairhope Bureau tomorrow. But like I said, we're very appreciative of Leader Stathagen and making this happen. I don't really know what's going to happen later in the show. I think we might get Senator Gudger on, but there's a lot going on today, especially as we're heading toward the end here. So we're just playing it by ear, as they say. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. What you got to do, you text me, and we will do our best to respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. But joining us now represents an area kind of, I guess, a little to the east, northeast, Tuscaloosa, but State Representative Bill Lamb, first time on the program. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming by, and we do appreciate it. Well, let's talk about this. This is we just had Matthew Hammond on, and he's, you know, we got a lot of new guys in the House of Representatives right now. But what have been your impressions so far, kind of new on the job here?
Well, it's a whole lot to absorb. It's a lot thrown at you. You know, like we've had 1,100 something bills and resolutions introduced, and it's just a whole lot of things, a lot of moving parts. But I've enjoyed it so far. It's a challenge, but I have really enjoyed it.
Well, I tell you, like, my impression of it is, you know, Alabama's a very hard state to understand. It's very tribal. And, you know, the different regions all have different sort of economic interests, even culturally different. Obviously, the one unifying theme is the big curse of A on the side of a barn at Roll Tide. But beyond that, I mean, it's a very unique state. It's not a monolith. And you don't really see how it all kind of works together until you spend some time in this building and you see the people from all over the state coming together to do whatever it is y'all do in those chambers. But that's my biggest takeaway is like the wheeling and dealing and how the state functions.
Oh, yeah, it can be kind of frustrating too, because sometimes things aren't what they appear to be. And, there's, like I said, a whole lot of moving parts. But, like, you could have a bill that everybody's for, and you debate it for 2 hours, and nothing's changed about it. There's no amendments or really substitutions, and then it passes 100-1. So the frustrating part to me is sitting there for 2 hours and
what are we doing?
What are we doing?
Yeah. It passes 103 to 2 or whatever, right? And you're like, well, why did we have this debate for, you know?
I know it's a democracy, and that's kind of, I guess, how a sausage is made, but it can be frustrating.
No, and you talk to guys who cover this for a living, it is like, well, was all of this really necessary? Well, you are a representative kind of ground zero with this unionization effort, Mercedes-Benz and the UAW sneaking in. I think they sneaked in. I mean, I know it happened 6 months ago, but relatively speaking, I think a lot of people in the state are probably a little flat-footed and weren't expecting something like this to happen like it has.
It caught me off guard. And, you know, I'm not an anti-union man. I'm sure they have served their purposes over time. But, you know, you can look to the Rust Belt, Detroit, and those cities and see what has been the result of that. And Alabama's, like you said earlier, it's a unique state, but we have a lot of resources, a lot of good folks here. And if you surveyed the salaries and wages and benefits, I imagine Mercedes and other automobile companies here in the South are paying good wages. And I don't know that any, I hadn't heard of any laborers or workers being overly oppressed. So
well, what, When I first heard this representative, I thought, well, this is not going to happen because up the road with the Amazon facility in Bessemer, it's like, that got beat twice. They're not going to beat, but they're way better. The UAW is way better at organizing, and because we never really had to deal with the UAW in Alabama.
Yeah. And there can be some intimidation, and I know you're probably keeping up with the legislation. We passed a bill in the House yesterday that, makes it a secret ballot instead of a card check, which,
right.
I think that's a sacred right to be able to vote in secret where you don't have somebody just looking over your shoulder and seeing how you vote. And I think that's really an important piece of legislation, and we passed that yesterday. Well, but all this caught me by surprise, too.
I guess you get the miners in your district, right?
I do. I have the coal mines, Met Coal,
yeah.
The Brookwood area. Brookwood itself is not in my jurisdiction, but I'm on both sides of it. So, yeah. We've just been through a long, drawn-out ordeal with that.
And that's what went on forever.
Went on forever. So we're back mining coal, and I'm glad to hear that. But, normally you want the labor and management to get together and produce a good product, and they both, come away with a good result.
Well, and let's go back in time here, pre-Mercedes. I mean, it wasn't impoverished, but, you had to go a good ways, either Tuscaloosa or on into Jefferson County for work. I mean,
yeah.
I've
been around a long time, Jeff, and early in my career, I worked for a CFO for Tuscaloosa County Commission for 39 years. And, most of my career, we were concerned about having enough jobs. And so the whole emphasis was on creating jobs. And so, like you said, there wasn't that much there until Mercedes came, and it's a good wage and a good job. And so I don't really see the need for a union.
Yeah, well, and you talk about the kind of the health of the Tuscaloosa County economy. I mean, probably something you could never have foreseen. Just the growth of the University of Alabama is like it's always been kind of the economic driver, yeah. But we're in this perpetual like higher ed bubble right now, and you look at the two counties that aren't really associated with the major metropolitan area that are really growing. It's Lee County and Tuscaloosa yeah. County.
You're absolutely right. The university is an economic engine. So we were talking about, like, I've been around a long time, and when I was in school, it was about 11,000-13,000, and now we're bumping 40,000 students. So
right.
All the things that are associated with that, the housing, the sales, groceries, all those things have Tuscaloosa is not a 10-minute town anymore. But like you said, it's not a huge metropolitan area either, and it is interesting to see how Auburn and Alabama have flourished during these times.
And I know the tornadoes several years ago, or a long time ago now, changed Tuscaloosa, but you go down McFarland Boulevard, you go to University Boulevard, it just looks totally, completely different now than it did when I was growing up.
Oh, yeah, it's completely different. It's just grown so much.
Right.
And the tornado changed Tuscaloosa a lot, and it did came back a lot of things new, and that's not all bad. Certainly we don't.
Well, it's kind of like down our way when there's a hurricane, and it just clears everything out, and they start all over.
Yeah.
And it's not good, but it's like a life cycle almost, the way this happens. And yeah. That's, y'all kind of had that experience.
Yeah, I think we've come back better, because of that. Of course, cherish loss of life and property and all
right.
that, but if you got an old dilapidated house that gets blown away and nobody gets hurt, and then a new house comes up from that, then that's kind of encouraging to see.
But you go, I don't know any of our listeners really spend much time there, but it's my little sister went to Alabama. It looks totally different than what it did, 20 oh, yeah. years ago.
Yeah, I grew up in Tuscaloosa, so you can imagine yeah. how much change I've seen.
Question for you, and then you could. What is your take on Taco Casa?
Taco Casa, okay. That's my favorite place. I live right close to one, and I eat at least one day a week there. And I've got a 89-year-old mother-in-law who's had some issues with health issues, and she couldn't decide what to eat. But if I say, hey, you want a taco burger? She's ready any day.
And what is it? It has such a cold. I don't get it. Yeah. I don't get it. I have tried it. After a night out on the town, and I have tried it just stone cold sober. I don't get it. But that's like the running bit on this show is taco gossip.
Yeah, they're good people who run that. They're in my Sunday school class at church, but it's just got a unique taste, and it's just a unique Tuscaloosa. It's sort of like analogy, maybe like Dreamland. Everybody knows Tuscaloosa for Dreamland.
Dreamland, I'm all about Dreamland.
And you just can't beat those ribs. But, you know, that sweet tea. And it's something about the ice at Taco Casa that people come. I got four kids, and three of them live out of town. And that's the first place they want to come when they come back to town. We have a Christmas meal there. It's just that.
My boss here at 106.5 is a big he's in the Taco Casa cult.
I am too, sir.
So we go back and forth on that all the time. Let's talk about what's going on here in Montgomery. There's gridlock, and maybe in some ways a lot of people think that's a good thing, but whatever it is, there is a sort of a stalemate between the two chambers, and maybe that gets worked out by tomorrow, but y'all are committees today, and kind of sitting there on the floor. I mean, there seems to be a lot of frustration right now. But this happens every session, at least once or twice in the quadrennium.
Yeah, I don't know what's got it balled up right now, Jeff. But you know, the only thing we really have to do is pass a budget.
Right.
And I think the budgets are really good shape. The last 2 years, you know, we've had leftover money, we call
surplus,
it surplus or supplementals, and we reallocate that. So that hadn't been the case for you know many years, and we hadn't had proration. So the economic times are good, and so if we can get those budgets passed, which I don't see any hindrance to passing them unless somebody's trading holding it up for something else. And that happens a lot. You know, you hold this bill up because you want the other bill. Those kind of things are happening. But I think at the end of the day, we'll leave this session with a lot of good legislation and two strong budgets.
Well, and I grew up with proration in Alabama when Democrats ran this town. And Republicans, I mean, a little bit of it when they first took over in 2010, but you've been able to manage budgets wisely, I think, under Republican control. That's the biggest difference when the state went from Democrat to Republican.
Yeah, and you know, well, that's right. And then what but the basic concept is this: don't spend more than you take in. And then we have done that, but plus we have put money aside. But it's not our role to hoard money, but it's there in case we are in proration, we can not, lose services like, you know, public safety, roads and bridges, all those things can continue.
And that's interesting you bring that up because about the hoarding money, because it feels like filling all these rainy day funds to the brim, creating new rainy day funds for the general fund and doing that, it seemed responsible, but at some point, like, what's the balance? Shouldn't you be, like, looking at ways maybe cut taxes, get the money back to the public, and be less concerned about the health of government and be more concerned about letting the public keep its money that it earns?
That's a very good point. It's not government's role to hoard money, and I'm certainly don't want to advocate additional taxes, but you know, if there is continuing surpluses, then it's time to think about giving some of that money back. I think we've been in some kind of unusual times, and like, for instance, the general fund, one reason why it's so healthy is the interest it's earned on money, and that's not money that necessarily was hoarded, but we had like $2 billion dropped on us from the federal government in relation to the infrastructure and COVID. And so that earned a lot of money. But what I'm trying to tell you, I think that's going to abate. It's going to, you know, it's going to not be there always. So we got to be careful in years to come. And we already see that in the rate of sales tax growth and all. It's slowed. And so I think we were in unique economic times, and we'll see
We'll wrap it up on this because I've been hearing about this economic downturn from lawmakers for like the last 4 years now, ever since COVID. Is it happening? I mean, not that I'm cheering it on, but that has been the justification for doing a lot of these things. And you're wondering, well, when are you going to see the impact on the budgets that we keep getting told is going to happen? I mean, you CFO of Tuscaloosa County, I mean, like, you follow the markets and the economy. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it'll get back to like you said, you brought up being a CFO. In most of my days being a CFO, we'd see 2-3% economic growth. And so you kind of manage based on that. But I think we've had, like, inflation a year ago it was 9%. And so over the last 3 or 4 years, it's like 17%. I just don't think that will continue at those levels.
Well, Representative, we got to wrap it up there. Hit the break. But thanks for coming on, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Well, thank you, Jeff, and I've enjoyed my time here. Appreciate you and what the job you do. And so I'll come back anytime that you'd like for me to.
I love these votes of confidence here. All right, as we got to get a break in here, we'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.